I think they like you, Steve.
Thursday, okay? Just remember Thursday. Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 613, hi, I'm Steve, your radio friend. Look, it's a show number 1,234. Happy Thursday. Tickets to the Blackhawks later. I mean, if that's not a reason to listen for the entire show, I don't know what to tell you, because it's the home opener on Sunday. Dave, what are you doing Sunday around 3?
Sunday around 3, I'm probably going to be at the United Center.
Good call.
That's my plan.
Good call. Rokan will be there. I'll be there. Rose, the one with the hair. And and we'll be doing a pre-game. And Rocky Wirtz is going to come by.
The hair.
And lots of other people.
Rose got the hair and the ascot. Wear the ascot as well.
He really is kind of a Thurston Howell.
He is kind of a Gilligan's Island,
Thurston Howell.
He shows up a lot on Windy City Live, and he'll have the little pocket square. He's really classing the place
up. And he's unbelievably wealthy. So if you're going to have your ship crash, make sure it's crashed with Roe on your island.
The red carpet arrivals are set, which we will carry during... I don't know if I'm telling you this for the first time during your show with Roe.
I think I need to approve that.
We're going to broadcast this live.
We're going to have a top level meeting over this
at about 3:30 as the players arrive, and this time they're going into the atrium, the brand new atrium at the United Center that opened last year. Yeah, it's great. So
you're on red carpet, so you're going to be like Ryan Seacrest, and
I'll be at the broadcast center.
Oh, that's not near the red
carpet? Yeah, it'll be around the corner from the red carpet by a half mile. So where or who will be out there? Kevin Pollak?
Chris Bowden will be there. Our Blackhawks pregame and intermission
seems
host.
Appropriate.
But Pat Boyle, who's going to be one of your guests, from what I understand, on Sunday.
Sharp dresser.
Let's go to his wife. Is Pat Boyle going to be one of our guests?
He is going to be one of your guests at 4:40.
Okay, good.
But
good.
He's also going to be...
He'll be on the red carpet?
He's going to be emceeing along with Adam Burrish, the red carpet on the television coverage. But, of course, WGN Radio being the home of the Blackhawks, we've got our own guy out there.
Hey, Mayor, absolutely. What, do you have any idea, any preview of what he's going to be wearing?
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
I know.
Who's dressing Pat?
Blani is dressing him. That's who does his suits, and we already know the suit. So.
Yeah. Everybody,
I'm not sure that the tie has been selected.
Did you say Blondie?
Balani.
Balani. Oh. It's Italian.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Everybody that comes in, and you know, this is not something that people don't know. The first question that comes up for any hockey player is, "Who are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?"
And usually, it's Bauer if you're a goalie.
Yeah.
And Men's Warehouse if you're.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of Men's Warehouse,
Warrior,
depending on your years
is
in
a
the
big
league.
Brand.
Warrior,
yeah. So that'll be Sunday, starting at 3 o'clock. So obviously, you want to win tickets.
Are you going to dress up for this? Who are you wearing, Steve?
I'll probably be wearing Cochran, which is a wide selection of golf clothes.
One thing I saw on that press release from the Blackhawks is there's a ball drop or a balloon
drop. Yes, there is.
I have a new Blackhawks thing I'm wearing. I just realized.
So you're wearing Blackhawks.
Yeah, I'm wearing Blackhawks.
Yeah, there you go.
Commemorative rally towels for the first 1,000 fans to enter the atrium for the red carpet event. A countdown and balloon drop marking the official start to the 2018-19 season. They're calling this Hockey New Year.
I will say the balloon drop.
Why are you laughing? That's very serious.
I think
serious.
That's a great name.
It's a good day.
Balloon drops are always fun. There is never not a good time with a balloon drop. So,
all right then. Let's do the top 6 and 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, testimony is done, and we're likely going to have closing arguments and eventual deliberation before the end of the week, if the closing arguments can wrap up today.
They have to, right?
They should be today.
Could you imagine a closing argument like, and in my fourth hour? Yeah, exactly. Those things are only like a half an hour long, right?
I don't know. There should be a shot clock on them.
Yeah, right.
It should be like a giant clock that ticks down the time. The city bracing, of course, for reaction in businesses downtown to the far reaches of the city's neighborhoods are concerned about their own safety. Let's not assume the city's going to come apart at the seams.
You know, I thought it was funny, Steve, that the marathon is this Sunday.
Yeah.
There was talk in the article this morning saying there could be a verdict over the weekend. It'd be interesting to see, as there are so many emergency preparedness plans that are put out by the downtown businesses and downtown buildings. They essentially everybody go home. And what do you do when 150, 200,000 people more, right? More than that come out for the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, it's huge.
It's huge. Yeah, downtown, it's huge. On Sunday.
Yeah, no, this could be a issue because you have all those security personnel already committed to cover that.
Right.
Item number two. Debate last night on Channel 7. Governor Rauner and J.B. Pritzker went at each other hard. And when the smoke cleared, you know, there are some that say it was a draw, some that say maybe Rauner on points, but it was close.
Rauner on good lines.
Pritzker,
one good line.
Pritzker, meanwhile, spent a good portion of the debate arguing over his toilets and whether or not that was an issue.
Or avoiding the question about the toilets.
Avoiding it very consistently. And,
yes.
And one of the more dismissive statements, and this is not helpful at all, is I paid it back so it wouldn't be a distraction. No.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. You paid it back because
after it was a distraction.
After, well, also because you're trying to avoid any sort of criminal prosecution. And you should. What's wrong with saying I paid it back because I understand how it might look to people who vote in the state who pay their property taxes?
Rauner had a great line. I can't remember. I'm trying to paraphrase. It was something like, if you are a business, you should be worried that J.B. Pritzker will take you down the toilet or something like that. It was something, flush you down the toilet. He got a good line, and I was like, ooh, strong speech, strong debate writers, strong debate prep. You got it.
And anytime a politician tries to be funny, they should lay down for a while until that notion goes away. Next. White House sent the results of the FBI investigation. That's right. It's already over. Into sexual misconduct allegations and more against Brett Kavanaugh to the Senate. It literally arrived in a lockbox, Al Gore. It's in a locked box and will be opened and revealed to the Republicans. Every member of the Senate will be able to see it. They go in groups, kind of clicky, right, like high school. And they go in and they read it, and then they'll come back with the results. The White House has already seen it.
Yeah, the White House just leaked it out, actually.
Oh, they leaked the entire thing?
CNN, well, not the whole thing, but CNN quotes White House, top White House sources who say the investigation shows no corroboration right, into allegations against Kavanaugh based on the limited review they requested.
Right. So we'll see if you all agree with that.
Really? And, they said that?
We won't get to see it at all.
Yeah, it's a shock.
Unless somebody leaks it out.
Right.
Next. Construction season rolls on, and the Taco Bell near Wrigley Field's about to come down. Anybody need anything before it's
No, but
down?
Nick is, when you talk to Nick was very upset about it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the closest Taco Bell to him?
It's like the only
thing. I
don't
know if it's, no, but he is kind of from that neighborhood originally.
The revenue on that Taco Bell's got to be through the roof, yeah, because well, every game.
Well, everybody another, goes there.
Yeah, is there another place to get a fourth meal?
I don't think so.
You know, have you been in that Taco Bell?
I've been in there, like, maybe after 11 o'clock at night? No, I've never been inside. I've been in the drive-through of that Taco Bell.
It's okay.
And we need more retail there, you know. Oh, brother.
It's also a funny thing that...
What are they replacing it with?
Well, I like that that's the nostalgic part of Wrigleyville now.
Taco Bell.
Like, all the other stuff is gone, but they're like, we can't lose the Taco Bell from the 90s.
Well, you look at Europe, and they save all the great buildings. Why shouldn't we do the same?
Exactly.
So, next. Horrible story in South Carolina. Six cops shot, appearing near... They're showing up for the first team, two cops showing up on a search warrant, a guy holding hostages in a house in what's described as an upscale suburb, had a clear line of sight and started picking off cops and cops who couldn't get back undercover. They were eventually recovered. One has died. They used an armored car to block the rest while they could get the injured from the scene, and eventually they got the suspect into custody. Unlike most who pull these horrible stunts, but didn't kill himself. There was an injured 20-year-old inside the house, along with other children. No identity as of 6 o'clock this morning, but we expect to hear more on this at some point. But six cops shot, one killed, and others in the hospital, that in South Carolina. And one's for you, Dave. 60-year-old bottle of single malt whiskey.
You know what?
Sold for $1.1 million.
Wow.
One bottle. Sales the second time this year that a bottle of whiskey has gone for a record amount. In May, a bottle from the, and I'm just going to shock you with my amount of drinking that I can't pronounce this properly. The Macallan?
Yep, Macallan. Yep. It's great scotch.
Oh, Macallan, yeah. Valerio Adami? 1926.
Yes. Okay, so
edition fetched 8.6 million Hong Kong dollars, or about 1.2 million American dollars in Hong Kong.
So my name is put on that item, but guess who's coming up with all the pronunciations?
Yes, I am.
My main concern is how much did you bid? I mean, I feel badly that you didn't get the whiskey.
I don't have that kind of money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How much did you bid? How high did you go on
and
your bid?
Can't talk about it? No, I had nothing
top
to do
secret.
With it. No, I don't. Yeah.
Open the books.
Mad Dog 2020.
I think there are two other people sitting at this counter who probably drink more than I do.
Counter? Listen, he's describing it
at this
counter
table.
I'll have the Reuben.
Sitting at this bar.
Exactly. That's your top six at six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at Night. DiGiulio, he knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGiulio joins us now. Condolences on the loss of your Taco Bell.
I had a lot of memories attached to that. But I will say this, though, you know, having grown up just blocks away from Wrigley on Addison, what I miss is the old Franksville.
Yeah, it's funny. I just got a text about that from the 630. That was Taco Bell spot, right?
No. It was in the McDonald's spot, which is now the hotel spot.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And it was directly across the street from Wrigley. And I used to go there when I was a kid. I'd go to Wrigley all the time and stop there for a corn dog. But then we were trying to figure out when it closed down. And Ben, the engineer with you guys, told me that it closed down. They tore the building down in 1980, and I was just stunned by that because I thought, you know, during the run that the Cubs had in 84, I thought for sure Franksville was still open at that time.
Yeah. Well, you've reached an age where you don't remember.
I remember in the 80s that McDonald's was there because when we would come in, that's where we would always stop. So.
That McDonald's was there until, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that, 2 years ago?
You would come down to Wrigley and go to McDonald's?
No, you would, like when you would get to Wrigley Field before you go in, you'd have your...
That's where you'd meet.
Yeah, you'd meet your friends and family stuff there.
It was a landmark.
Yeah.
All right, quickly on the movie situation, because I want to get to something else with you, and that is the movie situation that you start with your parents. Where'd you see last weekend?
Oh, God. I wish I could get that 2 hours back, but we saw Night School.
Night School is the...
Kevin Hart, yeah. Tiffany Haddish. Oh, my God.
Awful?
That was the longest. It was unbelievably horrible.
How many people involved in that project?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talented people in the movie. Rob Riggle is in it. Taron Killam is in it. Marilyn Rapscom is in it. I like Tiffany Haddish. I can do without Kevin Hart. It kind of drives me nuts.
Here's the thing about Bill Left's line about Kevin Hart? That's a great line. He goes, the most disappointing words in the English language are, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Hart.
Well, the one thing that's notable about this movie, other than that it's horrible and it's not funny at all, it took six people to write it.
Six?
Yes.
Wow, that is a lot.
Six people.
Could that be the problem, that six people were involved writing it?
I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. The problem is it was made.
All right, fast track this. Venom.
Venom is the new comic book movie with the Spider-Man supervillain. It's played by Tom Hardy. It's getting really terrible word of mouth, but for some reason Michelle Williams is in it, so I'll see it.
The Hate U Give.
The Hate U Give is based on a great book about this black neighborhood where a black kid is shot by a white cop. And what happens after that? And the main character is a teenage girl. And the book is really terrific. And I'm looking forward to the movie.
The Old Man and the Gun.
Robert Redford's last film role. So he says he plays a 70-year-old guy who.
By the way, how did he get to be 82? I feel like he skipped from 60 to 82.
I know, and it happened overnight. You're absolutely right. But he says this is his last movie. It's directed by David Lowery, who did a great film last year called A Ghost Story, and worked with Robert Redford on the tremendous remake of Pete's Dragon from a couple of years ago. And it's Sissy Spacek, Tom Waits, Casey Affleck, Elizabeth Moss. It's got a great cast.
Well, I hope it's good.
Yeah.
And this is one I wanted to talk to you about. A Star is Born. Okay, I've still never seen the original, but when I was a kid, I went to see Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand do this.
Right.
And, oh, I was caught up. I thought, this is fantastic. The trailers I've seen for this movie are tremendous. Tell me it's going to hold up.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm seeing it. One of my mom's favorite movies ever is the 76 remake of A Star is Born. Yeah. This one is the fourth time it's been told.
Oh, it's four. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's been four total.
There was a silent, a talkie, then Kristofferson and Streisand in this.
No, they're both talkies. The originals are both talkies. Yeah. So my mom is really interested in this one. She can't wait to see it. That's obviously the one we're going to see this Saturday, because it seems similar in terms of what they're doing here to what they did with the one from 76, which is the Streisand one. Let me just say this. I have not heard one bad thing about this movie. In fact, I have not heard one thing that's not great. Eric Childress, who reviews movie with me on Sunday night, he also covers film festivals for us, and he saw it in Toronto, and he said, prepare for multiple Oscar nominations. It'll be on top 10 lists at the end of the year. Bradley Cooper's directorial debut, and it's brilliant. Hey, here's the thing, Steve. Mm-hmm. Even Sean Penn liked it.
Wow. Sean Penn hates everything.
He does, and it's including himself.
And Dave Chappelle is in this movie, so how could it be bad?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle doing dramatic work. Hey, Andrew Dice Clay's getting good reviews in it.
All right, now you almost had me completely on board until you mentioned Dice. all right, so we're looking forward to that. Next film screening is what?
It's The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds. It's our tribute to Burt.
Oh, good.
And
good.
The Longest Yard is, I think, one of Burt Reynolds' best movies of the most crowd-pleasing movies. And we're doing it on Tuesday, November 13th. It's usually the first Tuesday of the month, but the first Tuesday of the month, America's going to be a little busy voting. So we're going to do it on November 13th at the AMC Rosemont 18. Tickets go on sale soon at amctheaters.com. But, I wanted either Longest Yard or Deliverance to do a tribute to Burt, and we got Longest Yard, and I'm really happy about it. So.
All right. That's because you can't play banjo. all right. Thank you, buddy. That's Nick DiGilio. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
6:45. Pete and Super Joe, here's what I need. We're going to give away another pair of tickets to this catered suite for the opener on Sunday night. Hockey, a game of our great neighbors to the north, Canada. Without Canada, we wouldn't have hockey. I'm looking for a question on Canada. A Canadian trivia question. Could be about ham. Could be about
kids in the hall.
Hockey. Those are the two larger.
I was going to say,
it could be about anything Canadian.
Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah, Degrassi Junior High, little SCTV.
Well, see, you guys apparently think we're playing Canadian Jeopardy where you give out the answer first. No, we're looking for a question at 312-981-7200. So you guys can come up with a question off the air.
Maple syrup.
There you go.
Again, not Canadian Jeopardy, although Alex Trebek is Canadian. Huh? There you go. Right there. Yes, Dave.
Mooses.
So you want?
Is it mooses or moose eye?
I think it's moose.
So we're going to ask the question.
They're going to come up with the question. I will ask it. The listeners will have to answer. And if they want to have you guys as a lifeline, feel free. Because apparently, y'all know a lot about Canada.
When you say catered suite, what are we talking about? Are we talking about hot dogs? Are we talking about chicken tenders? What do we got?
This is the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So we're talking about foie gras. Mm-hmm. And chiclets.
I went to
for the whole scope of
things. Went to a catered Blackhawk suite last year, and they had a nachos bar part of it where it was like hot cheese. And mm-hmm. I was in heaven. I was like, I'll just eat this for the rest of my life.
Okay, hot cheese fountain.
Yeah, it was very fountainy.
Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed.
The dessert cart, by the way, is the actual dessert cart angels push around in heaven.
Yeah, it's true. He's not lying.
That hot cheese is embarrassing for me because I shouldn't like something that orange, but it's so delicious.
I could
just eat like shot glasses of it.
You know? Shot glasses of hot cheese.
That hot cheese. Yeah, it's so good. When we were in David Hochberg's suite last year, I ate macaroni and cheese. That was very good.
Oh, because it's the, you know, macaroni and cheese is very fancy now. They do macaroni and cheese. All your restaurants of quality are going to give you some kind of macaroni and cheese.
So they put stuff in it, like lobster.
Yes.
Exactly.
Bacon.
Yeah. As long as they keep the kale out, I'm fine.
No, put some kale in there.
No,
that's right, Justin.
You would not. I don't know. I don't think you're just. I just. You know. Are you just going to the grocery store and like biting the raw kale? What? Why don't you?
I've given kale a fair shot. I tried it once. So
Steve does that thing where he claims medically he cannot eat kale.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part. I can't eat kale as well. It's got vitamin K, and I'm on blood thinners.
I was once like you, Steve. I had the same thing. I was like, I'm not eating this very hearty, leafy treat.
Uh-huh.
And then after it was cooked a certain way, and then I started to find it in a lot of different recipes, I was like, this is great.
So after you've gone through like 75 different processes, and you finally found a way to make it edible.
Lettuce is yesterday.
Here's the deal. I feel bad for Dave, because when we were at the Tribune Tower for all those years, when Dave didn't have any kale, he could just go out and munch on the median, because here in Chicago, you had all sorts of greenery right up at Michigan Avenue.
They have
now we're 18 floors up.
But they have planters in the lobby. And
that's
a
great point.
I'm just glad there's some...
You disappear during the show. You're downstairs having a snack. Eating one of the plants.
Dunkin' Donuts or the planters. Which one? But I'm just glad there's someone else on the show now who shares my affinity for
your
kale.
Kale brother from a different mother?
Yes. Yeah, thanks, JK. Mm-hmm.
I think that we're not alone, Dave. I think that really the minority.
On this show, we are.
Peacock is a minority. People would text in right now and say, I eat kale all the time.
Mm-hmm. If you put kale in macaroni and cheese, it actually separates from the cheese. Sort of like oil and water.
I don't belong here.
Yeah, Dave and I like the guac kale mole at Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's right. Have you had that, Justin?
Awesome. Is there really anything related to kale that's not hidden by other things or fancy names?
Yeah, that's... remember when Mary made the kale cake for Dave?
Yeah, which was great.
I'll never make it again.
That was not great. Sorry, it was the applesauce and kale. It was a little bit...
Yeah, and Mary herself, the great baker that she is, says it was crap.
No, it was good, but it was difficult to make.
Yes. Oh, I
see. Try mixing kale.
Yeah, kale is a very
in a mixer.
Rough...
But it was worth it.
It was for Dave anything.
Yeah, I believe we could stop the war in Yemen. We could get out of Afghanistan if we just bombed them with kale. Just drop kale and they go, okay, enough, no more kale. In their own native language.
Right.
Chuck Todd is not with us this week. Chuck's on assignment with Today Show this morning. Like, that's more important. When we come back, I'm going to lay out what we'll talk about in the 7 o'clock hour related to the Kavanaugh question that Pat Brady and I screamed at each other on the phone at 5 o'clock this morning. That'll come up after 7. Is Eric Edelstein with us today?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Unless you've made him angry in the last 24 hours. But
I don't think so. I don't make anybody angry. I'm fair-minded about all things. Texture from the 224.
Except kale.
Texture from the 224. I'm with Steve. Kale is gross.
Oh, well.
Here's one.
There you go.
Okay, they might not like it, but it's not gross.
Here's the question for Blackhawks tickets. And it's the first correct caller. What am I looking at here? First correct caller, you get into the suite. Do I need... This is later. Okay. First correct caller, you get into the suite on Sunday night. Is suite, by the way,
massive.
It's the super suite, right?
And all the people,
the Harris Bank suite, is that the one we're talking about?
No,
it's a suite.
It's a suite suite.
Yeah, like
that's the Harris
suite.
Club.
It's a suite suite. Yeah. All right, so here's the deal: it's two tickets and it's catered. If you can be the first person to answer this question correctly, 312-981-7200. The correct answer is not hot cheese. Of the 25 players in the Blackhawks roster right now.
Yeah.
How many are Canadian? 312-981-7200. The answer is surprising to me.
How many players? 25?
25.
I'd say 25.
So this means born in Canada.
Canadian. Yeah. Because, we couldn't check their citizenship.
Well, I was
going to
say, if
currently.
There's a dual situation or something.
I would say 98% of the players are from Canada. That's my guess.
I'm not sure.
I like how you turned
Russians.
Into Dave Ennett at that point.
I know,
where you're
sorry.
Going through every qualifier.
I made it complicated. We'll go with just your
Dave's,
answer.
Dave's accuracy on the facts couldn't be more problematic.
And I'm going to put this on all the people that have won these tickets and are going to win these tickets and are going to be in the suite. I would like someone to send me a photo of all of our listeners in
the
suite.
Yeah, that's great.
Do we not get to go?
It's a great idea.
No, we're not invited to this.
Oh, I thought it was the idea you could come hobnob.
No, there's no hobnobbing.
Oh, come on.
Who's hosting?
I don't know. The Blackhawks. I mean, it's not ours.
Yeah,
we're giving
in.
All the tickets away. So I would like to see. And then, isn't it cute to think of all the listeners sharing their stories? How did you win tickets?
It is adorable. Yeah, adorable is the word you're looking for. We're getting a lot of kale texts now from the 219. If you replace kale with bacon, well, that's some good kale. Let's see. Steve, I'm with you. Kale and cumin don't mix, and it's disgusting. And I like this one. Pro tip, if you stir coconut oil into your kale, it makes it easier to scrape it into the trash.
Slides right off.
Yeah. Okay.
Very strong feelings about kale.
I know, I don't understand. What's their thought on lettuce, red leaf lettuce? Well, who cares?
Why does it have to be red leaf?
But I'm just saying, I don't understand lettuce.
What's your problem with iceberg?
Upset with lettuce. It's kale is lettuce. It's
because kale's been jammed down our throats that you're going to die if you don't have kale.
I think you're projecting.
Next hour, Andrew Andrzejewski, Open the Books, is an organization that he started, and it's a co-branded investigation regarding the number one most highly compensated K-12 educator. And it's an investigation that's going to make you angry. So we'll talk to our Open the Books friend, Andrzejewski, coming up. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein as well. All right, now all of you hold your fire. I'm going to lay out this Kavanaugh situation very clearly. I don't need any opinions. You hold your opinions until after 7. But this is why voting and turnout are so important. Voting and turnout, it's the only way that you can actually have yourself heard to change the world. There's a question this morning about whether the fix is in on the FBI investigation, because it was not a full week and not everybody who claimed to have information was talked to. We don't know if that's true. We haven't read the report, but that's a possibility. The limited investigation, if in fact it was limited, would keep you from getting to the truth, because any investigation should be able to talk to all pertinent witnesses. There are many people around the country who say they had information, but they couldn't get to the FBI. The answer of whether or not Ms. Ford was sexually assaulted really probably can't be had in any way, shape, or form. Even with the third guy, Mark, whatever his name is, being
Judge.
Mark Judge, even with him being in the room. Now, word is that he cooperated with the FBI. We don't know what he said in the report. But in all likelihood, the final vote will still come down to the three senators most often mentioned from Maine, from Alaska, and the retiring senator from Arizona. You're going to hear constantly that this is a stupid question because it's about high school drinking and college drinking, and it doesn't matter. No, it's not. It's about whether or not this guy could have possibly been drunk, blacked out, or forgot what he did, therefore keeping the possibility that this woman was sexually assaulted. And maybe he doesn't even know. So maybe they're both telling the truth. You can't find that out until you talk to everybody, including the people that say he was blotto for a good portion of his high school and his college years. The fact that it's important, I think, should be obvious to most folks. It's not just about that. It's about the fact that you're about to take somebody and make him one of the 9 most important judges in the country, really in the world, who determine our constitutional rights and freedoms. And it's a guy who may have lied under oath. If the truth doesn't matter in regards to a judge, then when does it matter? And then you've got the baggage question, because the baggage is this. We know the White House is tainted. The guy couldn't tell the truth if his life depended on it. We know the Congress is tainted. Both parties, they're not about doing the right thing. They're about doing the thing that wins the argument for them. They're both guilty of that. And the leadership of both parties, they all got to go, starting with McConnell and going to Pelosi and Schumer. Ryan's already on the way out, as you know. So now we're going to taint the third branch. We're going to put somebody else on the court that has these kind of questions lingering over their head. And lastly, I don't understand why the Republican Party is so willing to fall on the sword for this. Why is it so important to get this guy on the court? There are tons of legitimate Republicans who probably don't have this baggage. So these are the things that Pat Brady and I were screaming at each other about this morning, mostly me. We'll come back and talk about it after 7 o'clock. Right now it is just past 7. Oh, we got somebody on the phone to win. Laura from Munster, Indiana. Laura, I have a question.
Yes.
Are you prepared to answer the question?
Oh, go ahead.
All right. You can ask for help in the room if you'd like. 25 players on the Blackhawks roster. How many are Canadian?
8.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's unbelievable.
Yay.
It's unbelievable. Well done. Well done.
Thank you so much.
These computers these days.
Only 8.
No. She probably knows.
It is surprising, isn't it?
Right? Wouldn't you think it'd be 17 and there'd be 8 Americans?
Got a bunch
of
U.S.
How'd you know that, Laura?
I honestly did not know. The number came in my head and I was like, I just have to say 8.
Yeah, like the universe helped her.
Yeah,
the universe.
Yeah, the hockey universe.
The Google.
That's quite possible.
Who are you going to bring to the game Sunday?
And may I, I'm going to bring my husband, and may I confess, I'm 61 years old, and I've never gone to a Blackhawks game, and I'm so excited.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, it's about time we got you on board,
right? What a way to watch a game, too.
It's yeah, from the suite, chowing down on macaroni and cheese and things. I hope I see you at the game. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and I really enjoy listening to you guys.
Appreciate that very much. That's Laura from Munster, Indiana. In the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is Steve Grzanich. Stories that matter with Steve in a moment on WGN Radio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a big fan of OpenTheBooks.com, and Adam Andrzejewski is here to talk about his latest as he chases down folks stealing money from the state, frankly. I'm stealing money from states all over the country. If you go to the website, OpenTheBooks.com, you can click on your state, no matter where you're listening around the country, and find out how much money people are making that you've elected or have been appointed, and it's your tax dollars, and are they worth it? Good morning, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Steve. At OpenTheBooks.com, we've actually captured 20 million public employee salary records and pension records from all 50 states around the country. We're very, very close to capturing every single salary at every level of government in this entire country.
So how many people are out to, you know, have you hit by the mob?
Well, there's 22 million public sector workers in this country.
Is that
public
right?
Employees, right. And I can't imagine that any of them are too happy with us at OpenTheBooks.com.
Now, I'm guessing you're not on a lot of Christmas card lists, but I thank you for the work you and your folks are doing. You just did a joint investigation with Fox 32, and Dane Placco is great. And if you found out that there's somebody particular in the state that you'd like to point out, who are we talking about?
So in Illinois education, I think dollars have to start following children in the classroom, and we just don't have the money in Illinois to pay for an expensive education bureaucracy. There's 130,000 teachers and educators in the state of Illinois, and the number one most highly compensated educator is a superintendent in a very small school district. It's a school district where 70% of the children are low income, and only one out of every five students is ready to graduate to the next level, the next grade, every single year.
One in five.
That's right.
What district are we talking about?
So we're talking about Calumet City. It's an elementary school district, School District 155. And the superintendent there, his name is Dr. Troy Paraday. And I actually went to the same high school with Troy Paraday back in Hersher, Illinois, in a rural school district. So that's where Troy Paraday came from. But he has landed in a very lucrative spot in this world, a spot that you wouldn't necessarily understand that they would have the money or resources to pay their superintendent.
How much money are we talking about?
So we took a look at his contract. It's a five-year contract, and we value that contract at total taxpayer cost of $3 million. It's 18 separate buckets of compensation.
$600,000 a year.
His pensionable salary alone is $407,000, but he's got 18 buckets of compensation. So if we run through some of them, he's got a car allowance, and that car allowance over a five-year period will cost $30,000. His insurance benefits, he's got six different types of insurance plans, 100% funded by taxpayers, and that'll cost about $110,000. He's got a performance stipend. They couldn't get the schools opened on time this year, Steve, because of mold problems. But he gets $4,000 a year on an extra performance stipend.
And that's not a merit bonus. That's just paid out.
It's paid out.
Okay.
Here's the big bucket. He has a work year of only 230 days. And he gets 59 days of paid time off each year. And, Steve, this
France. This isn't just the summer? This is 59 days off during the school year you can take these days?
This is 59 days out of the only 230. You know, regular people have to work at least, 55 days a week, 50 weeks a year. That's 250 days a year. His contracted work year is only 230 days. And then on top of that, he gets 59 days of paid time off. Here's how that breaks down. 30 vacation days, 14 sick days, 12 holidays, and then he gets three personal days. And he gets to accumulate, if he doesn't use them, he gets to accumulate without limit. So he's accumulated, check this, 567 days. This guy's going to retire on Halloween in a couple of weeks, and he is due $750,000 by his contract to pay out these unused vacation days.
That's not his pension. That's just unused vacation.
But to be fair, and this is I love this project. This is a union contract. He's not stealing. He didn't manipulate the contract. This is a contract that he received, and all of these benefits come out of the contract.
So that's a common misperception. The administrators in Illinois, they're not union employees. Now, they're paid lavishly and very lucratively.
So who paid him? So the district paid this contract, a 5-year contract, to this individual?
So we broke this last night at Fox 32 on the 9 o'clock news, and there's some great video. If you go to Fox 32, you've got Dane Placco in the meeting, in the school board meeting, asking the school board in the meeting very directly on public comment, did you guys know? And you see shoulders that are shrugging, like the school board members, you know, in that meeting on video.
Well,
they're not exactly sure how this guy got so much money.
Somebody has to sign the contract. Who signed the contract?
Right, it was 5 years ago, and I do have the contract right here in my file. I'm sure it's the school's lawyer and the board president at the time,
Was this guy such an incredible administrator? He was being sought after by every district in the state, so therefore competitively, they felt like they had to throw all this at him.
I think. But for our reporting here with Fox 32 and OpenTheBooks.com, most people don't know the name Dr. Troy Paraday.
Okay, so how do you get the money? What's your opinion on how this deal went down?
So this is a classic case of a guy being hired at a small district and capturing the board. So he was hired back in 2005, and here's his initial salary, $105,000. Today, his pensionable salary is $407,000, just 14 years later.
Once he's in, I could see him working the system or anybody working the system. But having said that, at some point, there's a responsibility by the lawyer and the school board to go, we don't have that kind of money. If you want to go to get another job, get another job. Why didn't that happen?
Exactly. And last night, you had teachers on tape at Fox on the news crying, tearing up, that their classrooms were destroyed by mold, that they have nothing left in their classrooms after a 22-year teaching career.
Has anybody gone on the record to answer this?
I think there's plenty of statements with no responsibility, no accountability in that news report. Now, here's the thing. It's a small school district. It doesn't have a high school. There's only 79 teachers employed in this school district. This is not hard to manage. There's only 1,200 students in this district, and this is the number one most highly compensated educator in the state with a 5-year contract coming to an end that'll cost the taxpayer $3 million.
Is there any way to not pay this guy out? Or is he just going to be a symbol of the problem that we ought to pay attention to change the system?
So I think he's got to be a poster child of the problem going forward.
He's going to get his money.
Now, here's something to watch. He's retiring on Halloween, the big payouts. Will he be hired back at the same school district as a business manager? If they hire him back as a business manager, he could make another big salary and double dip a second pension plan through Illinois retirement system.
Well, there's got to be somebody in Cal City, somebody on that board who is either on the take or is in with him. Is anybody looking at that? I mean, what's the upside to having this guy steal all this money from this district?
It's not stealing because it's a contract. They paid him out. So the onus is on the board here. I know that we want to make Mr. Paraday a poster child for this, but it does seem that somebody paid him this. I mean, like,
and what's,
that
the,
ag-
and what's the agenda? Why?
So
why you got to use me as an example, by the way?
I'm saying, it's a hypothetical, but the idea that is there anybody that's accountable at the Calumet City Board in this specific district that can be can be accountable for how much money this man was paid.
So going back over the course of 5 years, this is one of these examples of how the system is designed in Illinois to fleece taxpayers. Now, that being said, I have sat in front of these highly compensated administrators, whether it's in your city government, whether it's in school districts or junior colleges or our leading universities, and every single one of these guys, and typically it is a guy, will sit there and they will have this compensation. They feel they're worth every dime of it. They've justified it all off in their own heads all the time, and they actually think they're worth more. I would imagine, Steve, if Troy Paraday called in, he would make the argument and give compelling reasons as to why he needs to earn even more money.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. When I throw out the word stealing, you're right. Factually, it's not stealing, but it's stealing money, as is going on around the state and around the country. That's why everybody should go to openthebooks.com and see the work you're doing there. We want to know more. So you got to come in more often. I know it's difficult, but you got to come in more often. Or we're going to do maybe some sort of video crew following you to see if you and Troy Paraday are going to have an elementary school reunion anytime soon. Did you have a fight with him in school or something that we don't know about? Is this a Kavanaugh situation we have to do some investigating on?
So I believe my dad taught him eighth grade history and civics. Hashtag fail. I'm going to have to talk to my father about this. But he Paraday graduated from Hersher High School, the Tiger. We had a great football team in 1980. Troy Paraday was a part of that class. I didn't graduate from Hersher High School till 1987.
You ever going to do CEOs? I mean, I know you're doing all this taxpayer money. You ever going to expand this out and do CEOs around the state?
Of private corporations?
Yeah.
So our mission...
Well, I know
at openthebooks.com.
You're doing a great job with your mission.
Just to follow public money.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Well, don't close your mind to it completely. great to see you as always.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me in and your interest in our work.
Openthebooks.com. We'll come back with Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady and all the other news of the day on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We have a most valuable person on the planet for the day, author and coach Denise Soriol. Soriole? It's close. Soriol is going to be running her 100th marathon. 100th marathon at the Chicago Marathon on Sunday. How about that?
That's so great.
And after her first marathon, she said, never again. And then she did 99 more. That's an amazing story. Now, you may be saying, Steve, you always talk to these folks. How come you're not talking to her? She's out running.
She's out running.
She couldn't be on the show.
And one thing that makes it really cool is she was hit by a car and shattered. She shattered the windshield, her body weight. And so she had all these broken vertebrae and things like that. So she came back to running after practically could have been dead. So
how many people on the show have run a marathon?
I've done eight.
One.
Pat, you've done eight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Eight.
Wow. Dave?
I've broadcast them.
I've watched several. Eric, have you done a marathon?
No, I always say I'd do it if they'd let me drive.
Yeah, the same way.
Yep.
When was the last one you did, Pat Brady?
It was a while ago, and I finished the marathon, went straight to Kitty O'Shea's, and stayed there till midnight. Last one I did.
Best time ever?
3:42.
Wow.
That's pretty good. Well, I thought you meant the experience. Best time ever? Great time.
Yeah, 3:42. So does that qualify for Boston?
No.
Denise's personal record is 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's real. Time.
Yeah. Very impressive.
I was in the. I started out with the Kenyans and I ran with them for like 20 yards and I was out of it.
Mary Vandeveld, you run all the time. Did you ever run a marathon?
She and Ben look like they're working on their computer.
Oh, okay. Well, why be focused on the show?
I would say Denise is also happens to be Pete's wife, Molly's marathon coach. She's running the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, congratulations. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
And how about you, Eric?
I work at AL Media.
And what is the Lincoln Forum up to?
We're going to have a media panel on the 24th of October. We had a great, we had Rick Wilson a couple weeks ago. And then I think we're going to have a mayoral debate after the governor race is over.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the governor's debate and Toilet Gate and various other things. We also have to talk about the FBI report, which is out and being read by senators as you speak. Senator Durbin on CNN at this moment talking about where we go from here. And you heard where I laid out this argument a while ago. Let's see where it goes from here. I'll be in this chair trying not to shut up.
Are you going
to
yell at me again?
No, I can generally keep that for the phone.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. 7:33, your headlines are next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
7:44, we'll get to the FBI investigation and the Kavanaugh thing in a second. More important to you and I on a daily basis is who's going to be the next governor. Pat Brady, I assume you watched last night's debate on Channel 7?
I did.
And?
I thought the governor actually performed better. I think he's 2-0 in the debates. It was a good debate, good questions, and congratulations to Channel 7.
All right, but you were also involved with exposing Toilet Gate. This is where J.B. Pritzker ripped toilets out of his Gold Coast mansion to declare it uninhabitable and therefore got a giant property tax rebate that he's now paying back. How was that handled?
Well, it wasn't me that exposed it. It was the Democratic or the Inspector General for Cook County appointed by Tony Preckwinkle who exposed that, and in his words, J.B. Pritzker engaged in a scheme to defraud. What he did is submitted some fraudulent documents to the tax assessor and stole $330,000 from the taxpayers and lied about it and has been covering up and still is still denying. Now, he said he's going to pay it back, but the Democratic nominee for governor of the state has been accused by an independent inspector general of a scheme to defraud, which includes mail fraud, conspiracy, and perjury.
I mean, has he been lying about it, though? I mean, I feel like...
But he said everybody does this. Not everybody does this. Not everybody submits false evidence.
But he's not lying that he did that.
He isn't lying about it. He continues to lie about it. But, you know, at least Rod Blagojevich did us the service of getting elected before he started committing crimes. JB's done it.
I teed you up, didn't I?
I have an important question, Pat. Where did you get those prop toilets?
They're at my house now. They're JB's old toilets. They're
really?
Well, here's the rubber.
Did you disconnect them yourselves?
JB had that done. They told the contractor, rip the toilets out because we're going to get a new assessment. And after the assessment's done, put one of the toilets back in so JB has a place to go. Well, they never ended up doing that. But the point is, this is clearly a fraud. He ripped off $330,000 from taxpayers. Now, in my lifetime, four governors have gone to jail. This is how Rod Blagojevich started these investigations, and the voters need to take a look at it.
We do have a rule where generally governors don't go to jail until they're elected. I'd hate to break that rule. Yeah. They're usually in office for a bit.
He's a forward-thinking guy. He's progressive.
Let's tamp down the campaign rhetoric. I've been as critical of what he did as anybody in the primaries. It's not a crime what he did. It's a function of the wealthy being able to rig a property tax system. No. And I think he's now said he's going to pay this back. Look, the Rauner campaign.
Yeah, but paying it back doesn't make it okay.
I understand, but the Rauner campaign is gasping for air at this point. They are desperate to change the trajectory of this race. He's a failed governor who's headed to a colossal defeat. And, you know, look, they need something to change this trajectory, or he's going to have a massive double-digit loss in November. And I think Pritzker will be the next governor of the state.
Can I ask you a real quick question? Because I admired your campaign, your candidate, Chris Kennedy, because he talked about representing the working man, the common man, meaning that men and women. And now we have the Democratic nominee. There's two standards of justice in Illinois. There's one for the rich and connected. Can you imagine if you were on the lower economic scale or maybe someone of color, you think you wouldn't get indicted for this?
I think that the whole property tax system is rigged. I think it's a terrible system, and I think it needs to change. I think what JB did was wrong. I think I'm glad he's paying it back. I don't think it's a crime. I think it's a function of the story in this country. If you got money, you can hire lawyers, and you can get the system rigged for you. And I think that's
okay,
the problem.
Okay, but the answer, here's my question. The answer in the debate that I saw was this was leaked, and yes, I'm paying it back because I don't want it to be a distraction. If I'm you and I'm running that campaign, that's when my head explodes. Because not only are you not acknowledging that people have a right to question this move, you're basically saying, well, somebody found it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. So is he a bad candidate, or is he just not that
First of all, I'm not running that campaign.
As I've made clear. is he a bad candidate?
Look,
or is he not that bright? Because we need to know.
I'm not going to pick A or B. What I'm going to say is...
Well, give me C, then.
What I'm going to say is I think they know it's a vulnerability. They knew it was a vulnerability in the primary. To his credit, he was able to overcome it. They're throwing this at him at the last minute. I think it's an issue for him, but I think he's handling it the best you can in a bad situation. You know, sometimes you just got to eat your peas in this business, and you made a mistake, you acknowledge it, and you move on from it.
Can we talk about the other scandal on the other side of the aisle? There's a criminal investigation.
Please, let's talk about that.
So what is why
can
why
I talk
is there
about
open-
that?
Yeah, but hold on. Okay. Why is there an open criminal investigation into the handling of the Legionnaires?
I'll answer that for you, Justin. This is Lisa Madigan, political hack attorney general, who's never done a criminal investigation in 20 years. She went around, and I've been on her for 10 years about the fact that she's not used the powers of that office to prosecute corruption. And on the eve of the debate, 5 weeks out from the election, she decides to open up, I think, her first criminal investigation.
Do you believe do you believe that it's political?
I think what happened at those veterans' homes was horrible. I think the response of the Rauner administration was deplorable. We have emails of staff and others talking about how they can politicize this to blame Tammy Duckworth rather than trying to save lives. I think it was the problem for Rauner in the veterans' home stuff is it's become a very tangible, very real, concrete example of the failure of his leadership in this state.
Any reason that came out the same day or within a day or 48 hours of the Pritzker thing?
I mean, I have no...
Couldn't be politics, no,
because
probably.
It's Illinois, no. And if couldn't you're a Madigan, you're an insider, and this is how it works. And this is what the governor's fighting against. JB's nonsense, the Madigan nonsense, and you can vote for more of it, or you can vote for some continue the change.
But let's be clear. Rauner messed up that situation, and veterans died. Now, it's not his fault that they died initially, but the way they handled it was despicable, and it's not the way you want a governor of the state of Illinois to act.
Let me ask. Senator Durbin actually went down there and looked at what was going on. This was 4 or 5 months ago, and he actually came out and said, you know what, they're doing everything they can. Politicizing deaths of veterans to me is bad enough, but this nonsense that Lisa Madigan pulled yesterday, this is going to taint her career as a prosecutor, that she pulled this stunt 4 weeks out.
But regardless of the criminal investigation, there is a story out there.
She opened up a grand jury down south, which
let's put it to the side. This was a story that was a bombshell that was put out yesterday. It was in WBEZ. Dave McKinney did the story. They FOIA'd and got all the emails. What's the reaction to the emails that show evidence of a Rauner administration determining what to do politically before they do something for the veterans?
Well, I don't think that's an accurate summary of what happened. I don't think the political impact is as big as I think Governor Rauner actually went down and lived there. It's a terrible thing, and I think the bigger risk is that Democrats want to politicize the deaths of veterans. I think they take a risk.
We got to come back and talk about Brett Kavanaugh and the FBI report, which appeared in an actual Al Gore lockbox this morning. I'm not even making it up, and it's being read now and sneaky leaked in various other places. Stand by for that. And Texter says, would $343,000 have made a difference at the veterans' home? I guess we'll never know.
Although I've said many complimentary things about Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his distinguished record of 12 years of service on the D.C. Circuit Court, I will say that I urged the president back in June and early July to make a different choice before he announced this nomination. I urged him to nominate a different individual. I urged the president to nominate a woman. Part of my argument then was that the very important Me Too movement was also very new, and that this Senate is not at all well prepared to handle potential allegations of sexual harassment and assault that might have come forward. This was absent knowing a particular nominee.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's Senator Ben Sass, who could very likely be challenging Trump if Trump's still going to run in 2020. And that's a very strong statement against Brett Kavanaugh. Now, he's not being mentioned as even remotely possibly not voting for Kavanaugh. So is it just a speech on the floor, or does it matter?
Didn't he vote? Isn't he on judiciary?
No.
He's not.
Sass is not on. No, he is on judiciary.
He voted to get it out of committee, but yeah, the final vote's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I like him. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to say that as a Democrat anymore.
No, I prefer that you say what you believe.
Is that what we do on this show?
Yeah, that's what we do here.
I have a lot of respect for that guy. I don't agree with a lot of his positions, but I think he's an honorable guy.
But I think if you're going to make that kind of statement, then you got to vote no.
Sounds like he's setting it up for that.
It's possible, based on whatever is in this FBI report, which we should know more about later, because it absolutely won't be leaked. They don't do that in Washington. In other words, we should have the full report by noon. We'll find out what they were able to determine in a couple days short of the one-week investigation. In all likelihood, it's going to come down to the way we think it's going to come down to the senators from Alaska, Maine, and also the retiring senator from Arizona.
Maybe a Democrat.
So which way does it go?
I'm not sure. We got to wait and see what's in this report. If there's anything bad in this report, I think we're going to lose people.
Why are the Republicans so willing to die on this one? Why not take one of the other qualified Republicans?
You know, Steve, I'm a keg half full guy.
Yes, you are.
We're just an optimistic party.
For real. Why? Why?
Listen, three weeks ago, I said I would have pulled the nomination and put the second in line, which would have been a female nominee. But the reality is, we disagree on this, and this is why you yelled at me. I think that this perjury, they couldn't prove up the sexual assault allegations. Now it's perjury, and they've redefined the materiality in perjury, and now it's going to be an argument about whether he's a drunk in college, which a lot of us were, including me, but I guess that's going to be the issue today.
Okay, Eric, I want to get you in here, but that's not the argument. The argument is, was he possibly blacked out, and did he lie under oath? Because those matter.
That's
if he was possibly blacked out, well, why wouldn't you as a former prosecutor, want a full investigation?
Because as a former prosecutor and someone has done perjury, there's a materiality requirement in perjury. And what is this materiality?
Well, you don't get to materiality.
You stretched it out way out. To what it just doesn't, it's not nonsensical. I can make any argument and tie it back to I was blacked out, but I don't get it.
Why do you, okay, well, let me,
we can argue about this all day long, and I think no one's ever going to agree.
No, we can't, because I can turn your microphone
off. That's true.
Why would you want to seat a judge who possibly lied under oath?
That's not the point. We're talking about
the point.
It is the point.
Being a judge is truth.
Steve's right. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, but if a judge is about finding the truth, telling the truth, and representing the truth, why would this guy matter to the Republicans? Why not move on and get a clean slate?
Because the process here has been so perverted.
Let me finish.
It has been, and I don't think that he's a highly qualified jurist with a great record of integrity and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because the Democrats couldn't prove up the sexual assault, they're going to make it be about he lied about being a drunk.
Well, first of all, I think all that this is all sort of disrespectful to Ms. Ford. And I think the standard is, it's a great line from Stephen King, I think in Shawshank Redemption, is who stands to gain more from lying? Does she or does he? But I want to make a broader point, and I think it gets to your question of why haven't they pulled it. And to me, this is the most damage of the Trump legacy, is it's the take no quarter, never admit a mistake, never say you're sorry, double down, you know, dig in. And that's the politics of the moment we're living in right now. It's someone wrote a great line about how, you know, you've had culture wars forever in the United States, but it's now become commercialized or monetized. So that's how you get a Lindsey Graham speech. That's how you get a Kavanaugh.
Sides, yeah.
Well, a Kavanaugh who comes in there guns blazing, because that's the new standard. You're respected on your partisan side if you are spitting mad and angry and screaming and crying.
Well, this is my concern. The assault on the institutions that we absolutely have to depend on. The White House has an assault on the institution because Donald Trump is president. Congress is an absolute mess on both sides. We're now going to put a guy potentially on the Supreme Court who is going to have a cloud hung over his head for the remainder of his career, and nobody's going to know the answer. Move on. The Supreme Court might be our last shot at holding on to what this country was built on to try to rebuild it.
Well, there's a bigger standard, too, which it says to women who've been victims, women who've spent their lives feeling like
message.
They can't come forward, that it doesn't matter, that your voice shouldn't be heard. Now, look, nobody wants false accusations. There's no evidence that there's a rampant, you know, white males being falsely accused of sexual harassment. There are horrible stories out there, and they need to be heard.
Well, here's the thing is with her, and I've done probably a couple hundred interviews of victims and made evaluations on credibility, and she gave very compelling testimony. But when you bump it up with the inconsistent statements, her testimony was not credible. I don't care how sympathetic she was, and this is not the case of someone meaning she being wrong. Her testimony just wasn't. There are too many inconsistencies.
What about his inconsistencies, Pat?
Yeah, but his inconsistencies, the difference is when she says something that's inconsistent, it's called an inconsistency. When he has something that's not even material to really what we're talking about, it's perjury. That's the difference in the debate we're having here.
No, it's not. And we don't have time to go into why you're wrong. You're just wrong. Coming up.
I'm with Cochran.
That's a first.
Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein, thank you very much for being here. We got to run. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one night.
We interrupt this theme. We're short on time. We're just short on time. We're just short on time. That's all I'm telling you. We're just short on time. Dean, how are you? Excellent. We're short on time, but Dean's not at the microphone.
We're short on time.
Fastest segment in the world.
No, he's not there. So.
So what new TV shows you guys
Dean,
watching?
Can you hear me?
Let's go to our backup, Mary Vandeveld.
Are you watching that All the Little Things, Mary? The Million
Dean,
Little
Things? Dean, can you hear me? Nope.
All right,
no, Mary.
Mary will take up. Jonathan Tate is coming up.
I am watching.
You wonder why we call this Moron Entertainment? Huh?
Hmm? Anybody see the new Murphy Brown yet?
I did.
What'd you think?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a Trump blaster.
Yeah, it certainly was.
Yeah.
Once again, Dean, your thoughts. Yet? Your thoughts, Dean.
I like the new Magnum PI. It was pretty good.
Do you like it? Even though no mustache?
Yeah.
Jonathan Tave scheduled to appear in just a few minutes.
How about This Is Us? It's pretty good this year.
And now we go live to Dean on the phone. Good morning, Dean.
I've been sitting
there.
I've been sitting here for 5 minutes going, hi, Steve.
I hear you perfectly on this end.
We only have about 47 engineers between us and TV, so how could we possibly get that figured out?
We'll work this out one of these days.
All right, I know you're back on the road tomorrow. What's making news right now?
Steve, maybe one of the biggest stories of the year, we have a follow-up on the Kim Kardashian Paris robbery story.
Oh, come on.
The insurance company that paid Kim Kardashian for the robbery. Hang on a second. I'm hearing like three voices of me, which is way too many. The bodyguard that was hired to protect Kim Kardashian has been sued by the insurance company.
Okay.
The insurance company paid $6 million to Kim Kardashian following that robbery, believe it or not, 2 years ago. I can't believe we've been doing that French accent now for 2 years.
The ratings went up.
Right. And at the same time, the ratings went up. The insurance company paid Kim Kardashian the $6 million for the jewels that were stolen. The insurance company is suing the bodyguard, saying he should have done a better job, that he was negligent in protecting Kim Kardashian and should have taken care of obvious security lapses. So the bodyguard...
Lapses or lapses?
Well, security lapses, but yes, the bodyguard, his name is Pascal Duvalier. And he's being sued along with the company that he works for.
All right, item number two.
Item number two is that Sylvester Stallone has posted the first pictures of the new Rambo movie. Apparently, he's going to be a cowboy in this new movie.
Well, this in case you guys have missed it, this is Rambo New Hip Part 1. Because
and he doesn't mean like stylish. He means an actual new hip. Yeah.
I had heard, and I like this idea, the entire movie would be shot from Rambo's point of view and you'd never see him because that's the only way to explain he's still doing it.
Right. And instead of commando clothes, now he has a camo walker that he uses to get around. No, but he posted, they just started filming, and he posted some pictures. He looks like the Marlboro Man. He's full-tilt cowboy on this.
And apparently the
storyline is that he's fighting a drug cartel near his Texas ranch. So we'll keep you posted on that. If you look at nothing else today, go look for the trailer for the new Christian Bale movie called Vice, in which Christian Bale plays former Vice President Dick Cheney. Another masterful transformation on Christian Bale's part. He looks exactly like Dick Cheney. It's so eerie, and it's
Sam Rockwell does a great G-dub too.
Right, he's George W. Bush, and Steve Carell is Donald Rumsfeld in the movie. So it's a real interesting combo.
Like a comedy.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Listen, I think this was one of our best. I think it went really well.
This was going to go down in the history books. And I'm hoping that the engineers are going to get everything fixed now that the segment is over.
Keep in mind, this is why we call it Moron Entertainment. Thank you, Dean. We're coming back with Jonathan Toews shortly. First,
back over to Keith, top of the right side, shoots, big save, rebound, score! Jonathan Toews in overtime, snakes it past Darcy Kuemper, and the Blackhawks beat the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime.
Let's go.
3-2-1. Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
All we want is 82 of those, right? We just want 82 of those. We want this season to be so exciting, John Weideman ends up in the hospital. That's what we want.
Well, not serious. Not anything serious.
Oh, it was just a blink of an eye ago that Jonathan Toews was a kid captain. One of the youngest captains in NHL history. Mm-hmm. Now he's a Wiley veteran. Good morning, Wiley veteran.
How are you doing, Steve? What's going on?
Good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a while. You doing all right?
I'm doing good. Doing fine and excited about another season about to get underway. Obviously, we're excited about Sunday, but you guys go to Ottawa first. So give me some sense how it's going.
It's going good. I think we got a great group. The guys that were here last year were all eager to kind of correct the course and fix those little things that went sideways on us. And we're excited about a new opportunity. And we got a lot of guys coming in, too, that like anyone that comes to Chicago, they're pumped to play for the Blackhawks and be part of this organization. And I think we got a really good, positive feel in the locker room right now.
That's great to hear. Now, you feeling any special pressure for you? Because nobody's harder on you than you in the last couple of years haven't been what you think you should do.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I think I got to get back to, like you said, just having fun and playing loose like I did in my younger years. And knowing I'm surrounded by some great players and just going to enjoy, you know, every day as much as possible and kind of bring out that excitement, that youthful enthusiasm and feed off the young guys and just compete, you know. We all need to compete a lot harder and just worry about that and everything will kind of, the chips will fall. That'll be our focus.
Well, let's talk about, Jonathan, a couple of those young guys, your line mates, DeBrinket, and based on what you saw from him last year, what do you expect from him? What's it going to be like playing with him? And also the rookie, Dominic Cahoon. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, DeBrinket, I mean, we trained together all summer, and I think he's one of those guys, all the guys have been here for a while, I'm really excited about just because he's one of those guys that's always asking questions. He always wants to get better. He's always trying to learn. So it's nice to see that someone can come in and score around 30 goals in a rookie season despite a tough season for the team. But he's showing a lot of potential for the future as well. And Cahoon has been a great surprise. I mean, I remember hearing about him at the Olympics last year and that he could be one of those players that comes in the NHL and makes an impact. And he's shown that right away. I mean, he's so quick and fast, but he's got a great shot for a smaller guy. And it was nice to see him get a few goals in training camp and preseason and earn a spot on the team. So it's been a lot of fun to play with him and see what I can do with those two guys out there.
Tonight starts the a season, 82 games, not counting the playoffs. I mean, you're going to be on the ice until April and beyond. How do you mentally prepare for it as the grind of game after game and being a player in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season, no doubt, especially nowadays when every game just feels like you're in a playoff race with division teams and it's relentless. But you know, I think we learn to love it, you know, when it doesn't last forever, so you got to enjoy even the things that, you know, in your younger years you don't find so enjoyable. So it's a grind. Think of it that way. It's kind of like when you know the media asks you about the 2 month playoff grind. You can't really think of it that way. You just take it one day at a time and enjoy the challenges as they come.
Jonathan, last year you posted on your Instagram that you were helping raise money by selling Jonathan Tay's toasters.
Yeah.
And in your caption you said, "I don't even eat bread, but you should get these toasters." Are you still not eating bread?
Not really. I guess it's kind of a running joke. Some people do, and that's fine. You know, I did think it was a pretty funny idea with the Canadian Tire promotion we had going. So,
the Tasters, yeah. The
Toasters. A lot of people were trying to get their hands on those toasters, and they went pretty quickly.
Yeah, and do you have a recipe for toast you want to share with the audience, or you want to wait till later?
No, I don't, but I imagine you do. Or
yeah, oh yeah, I can put it up. Well, hold on a second. What do you mean you imagine I do? I was going to let that slip.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Sponsored by MB Financial Bank, it's Breakfast with the Blackhawks. Susan Koster gets an autograph, Jonathan Taves puck. By the way, she wanted to know what you're reading. I'm more of a Captain Underpants guy myself. Taser, what are you reading?
That's a good question. I guess right now, kind of a book I've read and reread a few times, but it's called The Fifth Agreement. It's a playoff another book called The Fourth, The Four Agreements.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. So, it's a great book about how to live your life.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty helpful. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to get back to my toast. listen, stay healthy, man. I know you're going to have a great year.
All right, same to you, Steve. All right, thanks again, guys.
Thanks. It's the captain, Jonathan Taves, and again, brought to you by MB Financial Bank. What's coming up? Oh, we did that part, didn't we? You know what? Steve's in the newsroom right after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 8:42, still coming to program today. And by the way, thanks again to Jonathan Taves. A little Soul Train after 9, because you can bet your last money it's all going to be a Stone Gas, honey.
It's the 47th anniversary.
And as always in parting, we wish you love, peace, and soul. And David Ockberg is going to come in and try to make us smarter about our houses. Introduce our guests now.
It's fascinating to have these two. And Lynn Warren is a curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And Dan Andrews, a legendary WTTW producer who's worked on several different projects, a lot of them art-specific, including the new one, which is Art and Design in Chicago. It is a four-part series, a documentary series, examining the role of art and design in the history of Chicago. It's going to be airing starting this Friday night, October 5th, at WTW Channel 11. Thanks for being here. Good to see you guys.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure.
This is a Art and Design in Chicago is a year-long initiative for WTTW and for the partners involved in this. Let's talk there, and then we'll get to the documentary.
Art Design Chicago is Terra Foundation and Driehaus Foundation's year-long initiative, and we're just a part of it. So, yeah, a year for us. Well, actually 2 years, because, you know, research and building this thing up. But they've had museum shows, gallery, special gallery shows, symposiums, a book, and this series. So it's part of this attempt to really take a look at the history of this and give Chicago a real chance to engage with it.
When you talk about a four-part documentary series, what were you looking to accomplish with this? What was the mission of the documentary part of this year-long initiative, and what can we expect from the series?
Yeah, I like to call it a TV show, actually. I really, really do, because it is. It's 4 half-hour shows.
Okay.
And each show has anywhere from, you know, 5 to 7 stories in them. So you move from story to story to story. There's not a narrative through line. There are conceptual through lines. So the first show on, you know, this Friday night is about Chicago's really effective history of creative institutions. So everything from the School of the Art Institute to the Southside Community Arts Center and the Hyde Park Arts Center. The next show will take a look specifically at the work of African-American artists, and we have an incredible history in Chicago of that, a profound history. And the third show looks at designers, really, people who work for a living, like me, who, you know, your creative outlet actually is a paycheck. But these people have done, have really transformed the city in many ways, including these two designers who totally redid the Cubs. They brought in the logo, they brought in the ivy, they did everything for Wrigley.
Really?
And then you got a little do-it-yourself to wrap it up, yes, which is important, too. Lynn Warren, Museum of Contemporary Art curator. What does this kind of focused effort on promoting art in general do for you?
It is fantastic, because I've been at the MCA for almost 40 years, believe it or not, and did a...
Started when she was 2.
Yeah, I was only 2. I did a Chicago history project back in the mid-90s, a show also called Art in Chicago, and it was really the first stab at the post-war, post-1945 history. This project actually goes back to the fire, which is really interesting. It takes the entire scope of Chicago's development as a city. So it is fantastically gratifying and amazing for me, as a person very involved in the arts, to see so much art history coming forth in all these shows that Dan mentioned. And I can't wait to see the TV show, including especially the design part that you just mentioned, because I know the art part, but I don't know the design part as well.
Well, I think it's great that that's included, because a general concept would be you could easily spend 4 half-hours just talking about the art part. But the design piece of this, some of the great artists in the city are the geniuses working behind keyboards at advertising agencies and various other places.
Absolutely.
Yep.
How do you boil it down to these shorter segments?
Yeah, what'd you throw out?
This is very difficult topics to keep, you know, very short.
Yes, we threw out a lot. But this is part of that dialogue with advisors we had. I think there were 8, including Lynn, and really had deep conversations with them about what they knew. And I came away with these mammoth lists. And then you sort of see, oh, wait, everybody's talking about that. How do we treat that? I think deciding on the thematic focus of each show was the key. Deciding that a half an hour was something people would engage with and enjoy and be like, I want more. I'm a great one of I want more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want them to feel like, oh, that was great. What the heck? It's over. And when you do that, then you kind of have to choose from there. And it's fun to be the brutal one who says this is in and this is out.
Oh, I can appreciate
it's
that.
Fun to be that guy.
All right. Yeah,
I know how that feels.
That. Yeah. Lynn, the history of Chicago, and when it comes to art, and the art in Chicago, I remember that exhibit a couple years back.
you know, you think of different cities around the country, and I was just off air talking about my trip to Cleveland and to Pittsburgh. More Pittsburgh really owns Andy Warhol.
Yes.
The Andy Warhol Museum's there. They talk about all the different artists that have come through. They really find a way to find an identity with the city and the artist. How does Chicago do that? Because there's a lot that happens here beyond art, and it's not automatic that I would think Chicago is an art town. How does a history identify, or how does it inspire Chicago and what we see today?
Well, that is actually one of the issues that we're all dealing with the art of Chicago, in that it is overshadowed by the amazing architecture history and the music history and even the theater history. So it's a history that some of us in Chicago know very well, but it's less known outside of Chicago. But many of us in Chicago even don't know the deep history. Dan was talking about the history of the African-American artists in Chicago. That's a, as he said, profound history that affected not just Chicago, but it's not very well known in Chicago. So I'm really excited that these stories of major artists, including very early 20th century artists like Archibald J. Motley Jr., will be told. And I also wanted to mention, Dan has selected four amazing hosts. So these are sort of narrated TV shows.
By artists,
so to speak.
We have Naomi Beckwith from the MCA, a curator, a colleague of Lynn's. We have artist Fahim Majid, who does a lot of community-based work as well as his own work, which is much of it at the MCA. Alisa Wolfson from Burnett, so an advertising exec and designer. And Miguel Aguilar.
A texter says, this is from the 773, Lynn Warren is legendary. She's been curating, supporting, and promoting Chicago artists for decades. Thank you for featuring this important work from Elizabeth Whiting. Isn't that nice?
That's very nice.
Yeah. We talked a little bit, or from Lynn's perspective, about what she was looking forward to. What surprised you in putting these together? What did you not know, Mr. Mean Guy? Can't wait to throw things out.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot, of course. What I don't know could fill books. But, you know, what I do know, we put on TV. You know, discovering things about designers was really incredible, including, you know, I mentioned Dorothy and Otis Shepherd, but also, you know, typeface designer Robert Hunter Middleton. Looking deeply at the history of what I call the Hubbard Street alternative gallery scene was really eye-opening and a lot of fun. I was, kind of an energetic, want-to-see-everything teenager at the time that was happening, so I'd wander around that world, but to dig in and see that. And I think also, I've known a lot about the Southside Community Arts Center, but I learned a lot more.
That's a great place if you've never been, by the way.
It's extraordinary, yeah. All this stuff, by the way, is on our website. I must say, WTTW.com, Art Design Chicago.
Look at you. Yeah.
Chicago, it's just in the last decade. And I think of what's happened under Mark Kelly and the Department of Cultural Events and Cultural Affairs and Special Events, and call it the Year of the Public Art, and what they're doing to highlight. But in the last decade, you've seen Art Expo get bigger. You've seen artists like Kerry James Marshall or even Hebrew Brantley coming up and becoming national stars. Do you see a future in which Chicago artists will get their due, not just internationally, but here in Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. And it's fascinating to me that the group that is best probably known in Chicago, the Imagist, the Harry Who, are actually getting a lot of national and international attention right
really?
Now. They've been showing in Italy. There's a big show that's going to travel in the UK coming up very soon.
Show at the Art Institute right now.
And a big show at the Art Institute.
And this was a group in the 60s.
This was the famous group that emerged through the Hyde Park Art Center in the
really
mid-1960s with people like Jim Nutt and Gladys Nelson. Yeah.
Sandberg, last word.
Is there much discussion when you're just dealing with all these people in the art world about how technology has affected any of their processes, or is that not even something that gets brought up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's different ways that's discussed. Kerry James Marshall talks about the incredible ability we have right now to grab everything from history, and that if you're an artist, you have access to things beyond what people had even 50 years ago. But then specifically, obviously, with designers, they're absolutely engaged with technology in ways that, you know, we talk about a guy who designed typeface for this thing, which would make really fast hot type, and it come down and you could put it. Well, I mean, that's an ancient world.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, absolutely. And I think even some of the artists mentioned here, including Hebrew Brantley, all take advantage of contemporary.
I hope it has huge support, and I hope they give you ridiculous amounts of money to produce a sequel.
That's great.
Huh? How about that?
Friday at 8:30.
Friday at 8:30. Art in Chicago. Art and Design in Chicago on WTTW 11. Not just this Friday, but 12th, 26th. And November 2nd as well.
Yes.
All right. Great to see you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
$8.56. Anybody got any change on them right now?
Like coins?
Yeah,
I have
coins.
Some in my wallet. Do
I have a
them?
Lot.
No.
Vanderbilt's got.
Here's the reason I bring it up. You know, we discount the penny. The penny doesn't mean anything, right? Pennies are a pain. Pennies used to mean a lot, Dave. When you were a boy, a penny could buy you a house.
Well, not quite a house, but it was a good down payment.
Sure.
Hard candy.
The U.S. Mint prototype for the first penny ever made, this is the prototype, is going to go up on auction for $1 million.
That's the same price that Dave paid for scotch this morning.
That's 100 million times the value of the penny. Imagine if you threw one out. Maybe you had it. Maybe you had, like, the first actual penny. Huh?
There's a lot of people call in on the swap meet when we do the swap meet that with, like, I've got a penny from 1910.
What's funny is if you look at coins and you get one of those coins, not even if you're a collector, but just in random change, you get a coin from, say, the 40s, the 30s. You think, this quarter must be worth $10 million. And it turns out it's worth 35 cents instead of 25 cents.
I used to save the ones that were from my birth year, 76, just because it made me excited.
Right, right. And collect the whole set.
I just randomly took some in from cleaning my mom's apartment and found some from the 20s.
Oh, really?
They weren't worth much of anything.
Well, what a cool thing to keep.
It was very cool. Yeah. You know, but you see, like you said, you see them and you're like, wow, this is awesome. And then you bring it in. It's like, oh.
It's so going to be nothing. It's going to be lost on a generation. I know Miles, he couldn't even tell you what a quarter looks like. It's just not in there. I remember we would get, if we got 30 cents, 50 cents, you're like, this is payday, you'd be at the village market in 2 seconds. They're just not a thing anymore.
Are these kids going to even handle money?
They're not. I mean,
it's just going to be. Everything's going to be pay for it with your phone.
I don't handle money at all.
I still do.
They don't know how to make change. That's for sure.
They teach it, but they don't do it like we did.
Yeah, they don't have to do it, so they don't learn it.
Yeah.
Do you bend over if you see a coin? You ever reach?
First off, Dave. Me too. Secondly, yes, I do. I do. Yeah.
I don't.
I don't touch things
on the ground in general.
Well, if something's on the ground that has some sort of value, like a coin or a human, I think you should pick it up.
I would bend over for a 20.
20? That's your threshold? Limit?
That's your number?
If it's a 20, I'll take it.
My wife just found a 20 on the street on Kinsey, right around the corner from here. One day coming out of work, there was just a 20, and there was nobody around.
So did she hold it up and say, who dropped the 20?
Well, I think rightfully she looked around to say, see if it was someone just in the wake of, but it had been there. And so my first question was, what was on the 20? And second, did you look around for cameras for some sort of ABC? What would you do?
You're a red dye conspiracy person.
By the way, does anybody have any idea what the point of that show is? It's highly rated. It's been on for years.
I like that show.
What would you do?
Ethical conundrums.
I enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, what's the point of it?
Justin says, ethical conundrums.
That's a genre of TV, ethical conundrums.
What else is in that genre? Exactly.
Well, it's kind of like
A Minute Before Nine.
It's kind of like Candid Camera.
Is it?
Well, a little bit, except it's not so much trying to make fun of people. It's more to create ethical issues and then create
conversation and things
and
will change.
C-SPAN is ethical conundrum.
Step in before somebody beats the you-know-what out of somebody else.
Well, that's the thing. There's not a lot of comedy on the thing. It's usually very serious topics.
I love that question.
But it's interesting to see how people react.
You know what you got to do? Get out on a Friday night. Sometimes I'm up till 10. coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
$1 million.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, you can bet your last money it's all going to be a stone gas, honey. And as always, in parting, we wish you love and peace and soul train, huh? Come on, please. I knew this day would come.
It's amazing.
Captain Sky's back. He wants his uni back. He wants his clothes back. I took him years ago. He wants them back.
So this is fun. There's a club on Hubbard Street, Disco, which is right above Celeste, that is doing a revival of and really paying tribute to Soul Train, which is his 47th anniversary. Soul Train, of course, roots in Chicago. In studio with us right now, Sam Haganash, who's the with Disco, and also Daryl Cameron, a.k.a. Captain Sky, who performed on Soul Train, had a disco hit with Wonder Worm, and is here right
yeah.
now. Yeah, how's it? Great. Welcome back.
You didn't spend all that Wonder Worm money, did you?
No, not in one place. But it's great to be back in the city of Chicago, my home city I love so much. And, you know, that Soul Train experience, man, I tell you, man, what an awesome experience, you know.
Well, tell people the story, because where are you when you get asked to do the show?
Well, I'll tell you, I was actually managed by a guy, Eddie Thomas, veteran in the music industry, started with Curtis Mayfield, Curt Time Records, and the whole deal. Eddie actually managed me, and he was an awesome promoter. I mean, he got that record burning up nationwide, man, and we got a call. You know, Don said, hey, you know, we need him to come do the show. Awesome.
Did they say they needed you, or they need a guy, and you fit the description?
All of the above.
Wait. Yeah. Is it the manager gets the call? Because if Don Cornelius is calling the house, you have to go, hey, man, and you hang up.
Well, I tell you, he called Eddie. And, you know, and Eddie told me, he said, man, you know, I got some great news for you, man. And, you know, because at the time, as you guys know, that was the pinnacle, man. I mean,
that was it.
When you did Soul Train, man, you pretty much said, you know, I made it. You know, so what an awesome experience for a 21-year-old kid.
Start selling records.
Yeah. So all of us grew up in Chicago. You
yes.
Southside Chicago.
Yes.
To be a 21-year-old kid, know everything about Soul Train, that had to be a moment.
Man, I mean, really. I mean, I get chills in my arms thinking about it, man, because when I got the call, when Eddie told me, hey, man, get ready, you're going, and he said, and you're also going to film the same day with B.B. King and Peaches
oh,
and Herb.
Come
man.
On.
So
come
I got on. An opportunity, man, to meet them and Lucille.
Come
and
on.
To actually caress Lucille. Oh. I mean, that was just awesome, man.
Did B.B. King let you touch his guitar?
He did.
Even with the get-up you had on.
Yeah. Well, he did. I guess he was afraid. No, I'm just kidding. But it was awesome. You know, it was awesome. I mean, it seemed like the limousine that Don sent to pick me up from the airport was like two blocks long.
Yeah.
And then this awesome, beautiful woman gets out. She's my driver. I said, oh, my God, I made it.
Well, they didn't miss it. They didn't miss a trick. Huh?
They didn't miss a trick. They didn't miss anything,
right.
Man.
Sam, I want to bring you in real quick. Just the idea of a because tonight is the night that you will be having the revival of at Disco, which is on Hubbard Street here in Chicago. You know, obviously, the connection to the name Disco and bringing a disco legend like Captain Sky in. But how much did you know about Captain Sky and Soul Train and everything before going ahead and booking this gig?
I mean, I still remember seeing reruns of Soul Train. It ran until, I think, 2006, so it was still pretty present in my youth. But, you know, we opened this club, Disco, in 2006, Bonhomme Hospitality, and we kind of wanted to be stewards of the fact that, you know, so much, you know, Disco sort of informed so much music after it, you know, hip-hop and R&B and stuff like
for
that.
Sure.
And then to know that all the soul and jazz in Chicago informed that, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was formed here. So we wanted to, you know, we're stewards of this incredible genre. We want to be really good stewards, and the fact that Don Cornelius started here, like, you know, it made perfect sense to do Soul Train. It just worked out that Captain Sky's re-releasing something. So we wanted to do, on the anniversary, we wanted to, you know, and we're going to do it up. We're going to have the line. We're going to have the scramble board or whatever. We're going to, and we have a light-up dance floor.
The scramble board.
The light-up dance floor.
And a light-up dance floor, but the scramble board, pre-internet, low-tech, and must-see.
So
are
awesome.
You kidding me?
Because awesome.
You had to dance while you were figuring out
that's
the
right.
word. You could just stand there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous.
How do you get the word out? Because a lot of the, I would think, the clientele that comes to the disco may not be even familiar with disco. They know the concept. They know the beats. They know everything about the music that came from it. But how do you sort of get them excited about a Soul Train revival?
You know, we didn't ever want to really be kitschy with what we did, because I think disco stands on its own and people don't really realize how much you just go, it was the best songs that happened to be the dance songs, you know, of that era. So it's kind of amazing. We kind of just said, hey, we're just going to play these songs. And, you know, people are going to come in and ask for Drake and stuff like that, and we're just not going to play it. And we're full every weekend, and we have 22-year-olds and 62-year-olds.
And they're going home and telling the 62-year-olds, you wouldn't believe what I found. Have you heard of this?
I mean, to even be open that long, we were just talking about how clubs turn over.
In a year.
2006 to 2018.
Awesome,
it's crazy.
Awesome.
It's crazy. All right.
I think one of the things, guys, you know, and that's really, really cool about the music, man, is that, it's happy, man. I mean, you know, when you hear it, man, everything good in you and everything good that you feel.
The only one that wasn't when Donna Summer got off the tracks for a minute and she had that somebody left a cake in the rain situation. I didn't need that.
Yeah, I mean,
that MacArthur
made a lot of people
Park.
Cry.
Yeah, we didn't need that, but you're right. You're right. It was happy.
Happy, man. Good feeling, man. Just smiles and, you know, and that's what, you know, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be a part of this, man, and to have you guys, you know, over there at Disco, bringing that thing back to Chicago, because it started here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Don Cornelius, wow, man, great guy. I mean, he just, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for that phone call that he made, and because a week after I did that show, man, the phone was ringing off the hook, man. Major promoters,
of course,
agencies, man, just tours, you know, boom. Just
it's like a comedian
man.
Got made on the Tonight Show, man. An act got made on Soul Train.
That's right.
All right, hang on. Can you hang on for a second?
Sure.
Come on, Captain Scott.
Absolutely.
We go back too far.
I
was his bodyguard for the good years.
You have just tuned in to another episode of Saturday Night Movies, better known as Moving with Ease on Saturday Night. Of course, your most honorable master of funk harmonies is none other than the captain, you dig. Tonight's universal premiere is about an unidentified crawling object whose very unsecretized mission is to establish the world in society at any risk.
This plot to the song, I love it.
The worm has a very quick draw. Don't be alarmed. We all know that worms are.
1978, Captain Sky, Wonder Worm. I played it when it was a hit. I played it when it was old. I'll play it again. Play it again today.
Man.
Captain Sky, and a salute to Soul Train, which we're talking about here in part. But Captain Sky, you're talking about B.B. King. Give me another story. I love the stories. Give me another story of somebody you met that just blew you away.
Patti LaBelle.
Oh, Patti.
So let me tell you what happened. So I'm actually at a performing at a club in New Jersey.
Okay.
Actually, formerly the Latin Casino. Okay. And everybody knows about the Latin Casino in Jersey. The name was changed to Emerald City, right? So I'm in. Yeah, I did a show. Great show, sold out, and I had a great time. So I'm sitting in my dressing room. So this lady coming, walking in my room real fast with her son. She said, "Honey, listen, my son has been worrying me to death all week long to come bring him to meet you. Captain Sky, here's my son." I'm looking at Patti like, wow, Patti LaBelle is in my
Patti
dressing
LaBelle.
Room. Yeah, I mean, I'm like tripping on her, and the little kid's tripping on me. So it was great. That was just awesome, man.
Good woman.
Real cool people, down to earth, man. Just really, really, really cool. So, yeah, that was an awesome experience.
Was it tough to be nice to the little boy because you were trying to talk to Patti?
Man, you know,
kid.
I kind of had to, like, shake myself back and say, oh, hi. And his name is Zuri. Zuri, he's a grown guy now, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
And Zuri managed her for a long time.
Oh, good news.
All right,
you said one more.
Okay.
Let me do this. I'll ask Sam a question.
Harold Melvin, never mind.
He's ready to go.
Harold Melvin was a great guy. Harold loved R&B music.
Sure.
I'm talking about to the point, man. He was just in him so tough. And I think one of the things that he prided himself on was the fact that he gave Teddy Pendergrass an opportunity, man. And of course, you know, everybody kind of like when Teddy came out with that power in his voice, everybody,
sure,
you know, was like Teddy, you know, but and it kind of bothered her a little bit, you know, but he was humble about it. And he said, "Wow, you know what, Sky, I lit that fire, man." I said, Yes, you did, man.
And are you producing? What are you doing with other artists?
Well, I'm actually managing and developing, doing artist development of young talent.
Oh, that's great.
I made a decision that I wanted to actually get artists from Chicago, man. You know,
sure,
and they come back here, man, and tap into some of the talent here. I got a guy, Riggio, who's in the studio with us today, and I'm really looking to kind of pass it on, to teach them the industry, to let them know that everybody is not trying to take advantage of them, which
right,
happens, and to make sure that they know that, you know, there's a lot of different ways to profit in what they do, and to really school them.
And to have your music be heard. And
to have your music be heard. And right, so it's about, actually, it's not about a hustle to me. You know, I'm not trying to, like, you know, just, ego is not a part of who I am.
Now, where do we hear Reggio? Reggio, you got Reggio music out there we can hear?
I'm working on it now. We're developing it, and really, really soon. And the thing about his stuff, man, is that it's positive. It's not a lot of the stuff that's, I mean, because he raps. But no negativity, no profanity, none of that. Just really strong.
Good for you, man.
Some good, positive
good
stuff. So
God bless you.
You know, you mentioned the idea of people taking advantage in the industry. And there are so many stories of artists at your time in the late 70s, you know, disco and R&B that the record industries and the record people just spit out.
Well, you know what I believe, man? I believe that. And going in, I was fortunate, man. I saw this book called This Business of Music, right? And I read that thing, and I read it, and I understood a lot of things before I got into it. So I understood that, you know, like back in, even then when I was 20 years old, a year before I got my deal, I established my own publishing company.
Okay.
And I put some things in place to really pretty much protect myself, to really know that, you know, I just wanted to get what I deserved. But pretty much, man, my inspiration has always been, man, to just really make people feel good, man, and have a good time.
You look like you're having a good time. Last word, Timber.
I know the Soul Train thing is a game changer, but do you ever think about where you would have been had that not been your big gig?
Yeah, probably still in my garage at 99th and Green Street practicing. Yeah.
Sam, give us the details on tonight.
At Disco, we're going to do this Soul Train Revival. Really excited. We're going to have a live performance from Captain Sky. We have...
Will Captain Sky be in the Matt Forte jersey?
I mean, he...
Captain Sky can wear anything he wants.
Yeah, we might as well give him a Khalil Mack jersey to update. But
it'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise.
Glenn Underground and Boo Williams are going to be DJing. And it's 111 West Harbor. Starts at 10 p.m. We're doing a Soul Train line. We're doing the Scramble Board. We're doing everything. So,
Dave, you and I get out there at 10 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, we're showing up. Great to see both of you. Congrats. Good luck, Reggio. Yeah, keep killing it, and you're always welcome here. Great to see you, man.
Thank you so much. Good to see you, too, man.
Captain Sky. What an honor to have Captain Sky in studio. We were going to get a Soul Train Scramble Board, but, you know, I have trouble spelling, and there's no spell check on it. You know what I'm saying? We'll get to Walter's perspective here in just a second, and still to come, Mr. Hochberg's going to try to teach us a little bit about your house and refi and how to save some money. But here's the question for Blackhawks tickets. We have more Blackhawks tickets for Sunday. We'll be out there at 3 o'clock. Roe and I doing the pregame. Dave said he'll come by. I don't know. He doesn't show up for just any show. We're hoping he shows up for this. Can we count on you?
I mean, come by? What does that mean?
Well, we're just hoping you'll be there. You're hoping you'll be there for us.
You know I'm going to be there, but am I going to get the quick shuffle off?
I don't know that you'll get on.
Okay. Right. You got to be there.
Barrett, take us to the catered suite for the Blackhawks home opener. Stand by. I haven't asked a question yet. Special pregame ceremony honors Stan Mikita before the Hawks and the Leafs in the home opener. Tickets for all games this season on sale at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And the season starts tonight on what radio station?
It starts at 720 WGN, 6 o'clock, Hawks and Senators from Ottawa.
Here's the question. Captain Sky in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Toews on earlier.
Two captains.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Give me three other Blackhawks who wore the C. Three other Blackhawks who wore the C. Proudly, well, even if it wasn't proudly, because some of them. No, of course, the C on the sweater. Three other Blackhawks, 312-981-7200.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Before we get to these headlines, let me go to line three here and talk to Rick in West Chicago. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Give me three captains for the Blackhawks.
Tony Amonte, Stan Mikita, Keith Magnuson.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Unfortunately, you missed Cyclone Wentworth from 1931. Cyclone Wentworth would have been No, of course. You're in. You're in, buddy. You're going to the game.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Thanks for listening, Rick. I appreciate it. There you go. That's Rick. Cyclone Wentworth. How great a name is that? Dave, you covered him. How was he? Was he a strong player?
You know, Cyclone Wentworth, 3 goals, 10 assists, a lot of penalty minutes.
Ah, he was a scrapper.
Yeah.
You know who the captain was? Two captains before that captain?
Before
Wentworth? Duke Dukowski. I'm guessing Duke probably mixed it up a little bit as well. Duke and Cyclone, you don't want to mess with those guys.
No, not at all.
Please. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I asked David Hochberg to come in today because, interest rates hit 5 and It's not the end of the world, but I hear people screaming like it might be. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Doing fine. So, should we be running around screaming?
No, I think you should be running around not trying to time the market for everybody that thinks it's going to go to a four, because typically when we get on this any type of upward or downward trajectory, that's a big word, and we're on an upward one right now, we don't know where it's going to stop and settle out and balance out. So right now, you know, if you called us a couple of weeks ago, we were still in the fours, 4.6, 4.7, 4.8.
But if you're waiting to go backwards and it's your time to buy a house or refi,
I wouldn't wait for anything. All right. I mean, there's something called a free float down. If the market gets dramatically worse, you could get a free float down in order to get a lower rate. So if you're waiting for it to go back into the fours, I think it's a gigantic mistake. And the people that I was on here about a year and a half ago, told all your listeners, if you're waiting it to go to the threes, I wouldn't wait. I'd lock it in because you got a better chance of it going to five than you do going to three. And guess what? Clairvoyant David Hochberg genius. Here we are in the fives. I mean, we've been at...
You could see that train coming.
Well, it's 10 years. I mean, we had a good run for 120 months. It's got to end sometime. We're in the fives. 30-year fix. It starts with a five. I could still get you into four, but you're going to pay discount points, and most likely in 95%+ of the loans out there, it doesn't make sense unless the seller's paying some type of closing costs when you use those funds.
From your vantage point, is the housing market going to suffer?
I think the housing market is going to suffer a little bit because now it's more expensive to finance a home. So it's definitely going to slow down the appreciation.
Do we know the percentage of people that don't have to buy? They're going to buy, they're going to move, but they're not urgent?
No.
Anybody ever break that down?
No, I'm sure somebody's broken it down. I haven't. You know, I talked to a guy walking over from the Michigan Street Bridge here. He's a firefighter in Indiana. We spent the last year enhancing his credit. He's now ready to move. I got an email at 6:30 this morning. Hey, I went to your credit enhancement guy, Gary Novell. He fixed me up. I'm ready to buy a house. So, boom. So, I'm like, you got to rent? I'm like, where are you right now? You have any house to sell? He's like, I'm renting. I'm a free agent. I want to buy a house. So he's ready, right? He's going into something into a five and doesn't seem to faze him. So listen.
It's been a seller's market for a long time. With rates at five, it's got to become more of a buyer's market.
It's now turning, right? So we went from the post 2007-2008 disaster where it was a buyer's market because you didn't know when the knife was going to continue. It was like catching falling knives, right? Or whatever that statement saying is. And you know, then
good reach though by you.
Yeah, well, yeah, I try and just keep moving on, and let's not put a spotlight on what I just said because I have no idea. And you know, it turned into a buyer's market, then turned into a seller's market because the interest rates were so low and more people were qualified to buy. So then the prices started going up, and the sellers started seeing five offers for every time a home went on the market. There were five offers coming in. Now you talk to realtors, and it's a little soft right now. So now it's kind of turned into...
That's the upside. You might be able to find a deal.
You might be able to find a great opportunity to get into a home, and now what we're going back to closing cost credits again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now is an opportunity to, and if the house is worth $250,000, instead of buying it at $240,000, buy it at $250,000, get a $10,000 credit for closing costs, keep the $10,000 in your pocket for other things. So there, it's a constant moving ship here, and we just stay in front of it and educate your listeners as best we can.
We're going to refi it up a little bit here in a second, too. And if you have a question for David Hochberg, best thing to do at this point of the show is just text me at 312-981-7200. More on Mr. Hochberg in a second. By the way, I'm seeing you all over social media.
Your son is doing a great job. I will tell you this, not just because I'm here and it's your son, but he took over our social media at the beginning of the year. It was a complete disaster because I was running it. And
so we can legitimately say thousands more likes Facebook world.
I can tell you.
We don't need the number. Thousands more likes.
But I did a video because we crossed over 4,000, which I never thought.
Couldn't resist.
And I did a video. I could. I got to put it because my goal is 10,000.
Teach you about marketing.
Well, I'm trying. Well, I set the goal because there's a huge bonus for Ross.
Oh, well, in that case, let's get busy.
If we get to 5,000, when we get to 5,000, not if, but when, by the end of the year. Yes. Huge bonus.
Yeah, if you want Abigail to go to college, please like David Hochberg's Facebook page.
Team Hochberg.
Team Hochberg.
Right.
More in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So I walk in the room, I don't know, 5 minutes ago. It's right before I started talking to David Hochberg. And David Hochberg and Justin Kaufman are just foaming at the mouth, just drooling, talking about 16-inch softball.
David understands. Yes.
What are you wearing, by the way?
I am wearing my 16-inch softball Hall of Fame polo that was in hat that was sent to me by George at the Hall of Fame.
George Bliss.
George Bliss.
We love George Bliss.
With a note to say congratulations on your championship.
It's a great hat.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, there's many people in the if you win a game in the NFL and the NFL Hall of Fame, you know, sends you a note, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, sure. Just like that.
And to have the 16-inch softball Hall of Fame in Forest Park send me a note about my media championship.
So Justin's in over the moon. It's a blue hat. It's a navy blue, yeah. Navy blue polo, and he happens to be wearing navy blue socks.
I didn't realize I was going to get it, so I'm wearing all navy blue today. So when I put the polo on, I look like a beer delivery driver.
You look great.
Like
now, is this going to be your I'll never ruin this hat hat?
I'm not much of a you know I need to get some.
You're gonna wear that. You're gonna wear that when you play.
Yeah, of course.
Ooh, he's not a hat polo guy. He basically just said he doesn't do your outfits.
No, but I said advice.
You're a hat polo
guy. You're a hat polo guy. So I'm not sure.
Why would you try to compete with me?
As you're being inducted into the media section of the 16-inch Hall of Fame, is that
your general section? Because I'm a star.
Well, most likely the media. Are you? Is that what? Is that your uniform that you're going to be wearing?
This will be it.
That'll be your uniform.
And I'll.
They're gonna make a bust with you with the hat on.
Yep.
With the shirt on.
Speech and then deliver some PBR at the same time.
So it's actually a bus made of cheese.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, we've been invited to the 16-inch Hall of Fame to actually go out there, but I kind of forced that agenda. The team is going to go out there.
Oh, nice.
And do a trip to the Forest Park.
I'm sure we'll see it on the news.
Yeah, I'm sure.
David Ockberg, I got 2 minutes for you to tell me how the refi business goes.
Refi business goes like this. You go to WGNDavid.com. We'll have you in and out of a loan in 21 days. We've got the system down, and if you work with us, if you get us back the documents in 24 hours, we will have you, and it's a conventional loan, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, or USDA rural loan, 21 days in and out. And what that does for your listeners is it enables us to get them a lower rate, because typically the shorter period of time that you lock the loan, the better the rate. So if your listeners want, as the industry has slowed down a little bit, we have a chance to reorganize our operations, and we've completely turned it on its head and turned it inside out, made it more efficient, and we're going to be closing refinances in 21 days.
So, last words,
wow, that's great.
Yeah, it enables every, I don't mean to cut you off, but it enables your listeners to get a lower rate and us to be a lot more efficient.
So are adjustable rates off the table now?
No. Adjustable rates are still great options. They, I'll give you a perfect example. Divorced lady in neighbor of mine, lives in Northbrook, going to be in the house another 10 years to get her kids through GBN, wants to take some money out to pay off some bills, redo something in the house, just got divorced. We're going to be able to pull out $100,000 out of her home, and her payment's going to go down $200 a month. And she has a security for 10 years that all she's going to be in the house, because once her kids walk down the aisle and gets his diploma at Glenbrook North High School, there's going to be a for sale sign in the house, and she's going to sell the house. And a special note to Greg Hanrahan, because I heard you guys talking about my macaroni and cheese. Since I brought up macaroni and cheese in the suites, the sales of macaroni and cheese at the United Center by suite holders
through the roof
has quadrupled, and yeah. I am getting an award on the 8th at the suite holders party. I am being presented from Rocky Wirtz and Jerry Reinsdorf a plaque.
Come on.
For increased listen, I get a plaque, get a you get this. You I don't get a goofy outfit like that. I get a plaque presented to me by the chairman and Mr. Wirtz.
I'm amazing. Very excited. Listen,
macaroni sales have quadrupled. I'm just
the only thing more exciting than George Bliss, the Hall of Fame, is your macaroni and cheese story.
Mac and cheese plaque.
Yes.
Like plaque. David Hochberg's Team Hochberg page
Trump's your
on
goofy polo
Facebook.
And hat. I'm just saying.
Like him on Facebook, and you can also ask about debt consolidation and credit and getting your credit back up, and also reverse mortgages. Good to see you, David Hochberg.
It's great to see you. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Bill and Wendy are here, and I'd like to now say a hearty hello and good morning to both of you.
Oh, how nice.
Right back in.
Why a hearty one today? That we don't usually get the hearty brand.
I don't know. Just thought it felt
That's
hearty.
That's so nice
I
of
felt
you.
Kind of hearty.
Thank you.
By the way, we just had a tour come through here. Jimmy DeCastro, who used to run this place, mm-hmm. was now taking a tour of the new facility.
So what's up there, do you think?
I think he's looking for work.
He wants to be a page.
Yeah, I think he's looking for work, to be honest with you. What are you guys doing today?
Well,
can I tell you it's going to be a huge news day?
Today will be a big news
yeah,
day.
Yeah, the FBI report on Drunky McDrunkerson, Kavanaugh. and then, of course, along with that, you got closing arguments in the Van Dyke trial.
Is he referred to as Drunky Drunkerson in the documents?
Drunky McDrunkerson.
Drunky McDrunkerson.
Yes. Yeah, because that's fair.
It seems fair.
All right, what are you guys doing?
My best friend in the whole wide world, Steve, Grant Mulvey.
Ah, must be Hawks season.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
He will give us a preview.
You can check, see if you've been cheating on you with another best friend.
That's impossible.
You wouldn't do that?
Oh, that is impossible.
You wouldn't do that?
Does he know your best friends yet?
Yeah.
All right.
He knows.
Yeah. He knows.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not returned the email, but he knows.
Wendy, what else?
You know, it's funny. I saw Bill hug David Hochberg when he walked in. Science now confirms hugs do make you feel better. So mm-hmm. we'll give away free hugs.
Hugs, oh, not drugs, hugs. Steve.
Be cool. Stay in school.
All right.
See you tomorrow.